This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Football Hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen. Wrapping up the week that was with sound from the locker room, highlights from the game, and much more. And now, here's Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen.
Welcome in. Happy Monday. It is the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen with you as always. Kyle, it is great to be with you on a victory Monday. How about that? The Niners got a win. They snapped their three-game losing streak. They do it in dominant fashion over the Bears. 38-13 is the final score. We will break it all down, what it means here over the next 60 minutes. But as we begin, Kyle, it is just great to be talking about a 49er win because it has been a very long time since we last had this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard to be not optimistic, but I'm trying not to be a downer here because they went and dominated that game, top to bottom, start to finish. I was trying to find like little nitpicks, and it's really hard to even find that. They played is about as perfect of an NFL game as you can play. My question is, like, where has this been?
Yep.
They were so good yesterday. They were creative offensively. They were executing. The penalties were down. The pass rush was great. The Bears' offensive line stinks, but the pass rush was really good all game long, I thought. They looked like the team we expected them to be. The problem is it's week 14, and their playoff chances were already on life support. Now they're worse. Even though they won, which is a really good indicator for how the season's gone. But no, it was just, for me, separating that yesterday's performance from this year, it was just encouraging to see that they still have that in them.
Yes.
And that they recognize the urgency that they're now playing with. It's basically, hey, must win the rest of the way, and you need help. The fact they still have that in their bag, and this version of the team has that in their bag, was at least encouraging for me when you start spinning this forward into 2025 and beyond.
Yes, I'm with you. Like, there were two main emotions for me when watching this game and thinking about it after the fact. It was, wow, okay, I was really beginning, not beginning, I really was doubting whether they had a performance like this in them, because I think most of us probably expected them to beat the Bears. I don't know how many of us expected it to be by 25 points, but I think most of us were probably expecting a win. This is a Bears team that has not won in a very long time, although so many of those losses have been heartbreakingly, excruciatingly painful and very, very close, and they very easily could have won, like, two or three or hell, maybe even four of the games that they've lost during this streak. But you fire your offensive coordinator, and then a couple of weeks later, you fire your head coach. And this is the first game with their interim head coach. So you expected a Niners win. I think most of us did. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, it was just good to see the Niners prove that they still have this in them. And it came at a time where maybe other than the Green Bay game, because you were without your quarterback, like, you have never been more hurt this year than you are right now. You're without your number one running back. You're without your number two running back. In the game, you lose your number three running back. You were already down to your number two left tackle and left guard. You lose your number two left guard in the game, basically for the entire game, and you have to go with your number three left guard the rest of the way. You're down Nick Bosa. You do get Hufanga back, and he made a couple of classic Hufanga plays in this game that stood out as well. Also telling that Jair Brown, once Hufanga came back and was ready to play, did not play. We can talk a little bit more about that if we want, but that was thought number one for me, Kyle, was, wow, they still have this in them, and despite all of the injuries, that is a really, really good sign. But right on the tail end of that, right after I get done feeling, you know, all good and happy and excited about the performance, I can't help but think, Where the hell has this been the entire year? It almost makes the entire experience of this season like 10 times more frustrating. It's just one thing if the team just sucks and they're not good and they just can't put a performance like this together. Mm-hmm. But you do this in a season where you have blown countless double-digit fourth-quarter leads against division foes in a division that is as close as it could possibly be. And if you mm-hmm. just won the Seahawks game a few weeks ago, you would be atop the division right now. Like,
unreal.
It is absolutely a frustrating experience watching this team win a game like that, because it makes you wonder where the hell has this been the whole season. Like the Buffalo game, the Green Bay game, okay, there's a lot of weird circumstances going on there, and you're on the road, and those are two really good teams. But this win yesterday, Kyle, it only makes the Rams loss, the Cardinals loss, and the Seahawks loss all the more painful. I can't shake that out of my mind right now.
Yeah, and it had reached the point where We had gone, well, you know, you are what your record says you are. You're 5-7, and you know, you lost those games, and that's just what this team is. And it turns out, like you said, they're not. And the more frustrating part, outside of the fact that they didn't close those games out, was watching them put the Bears away in the first half yesterday. Mm. It was 24-0.
Scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Oh.
Yeah, 5 of 6 in the red zone. Like, they were so good, and the creativity was there. Yep. It looked like a vintage Kyle Shanahan 49ers performance.
That George Kittle screen early in the game. Man.
A screen to George Kittle was amazing. And then the touchdown to Jennings, it was off like a misdirection with play action, and his Brock bootlegging and Juwan Jennings wide open. Like, and just real quick, Brock Purdy, we can talk about it, but he was outstanding yesterday.
Yes, he was.
I thought he was about as close to flawless as you can get as a pro quarterback. He was awesome. So Now I'm not only frustrated that they didn't close those games out, the three you're talking about, the three division games, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams. I'm hesitant to put the Vikings one in there, but if they play their best game, they beat the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings are just better. But anyways, we'll take those three division games. They should have put those teams away earlier.
Yep.
Like, that's the thing that jumps out to me, is they should have put the screws to those teams where, yeah, hey, they can win the fourth quarter 10-0 or 13-3 or whatever it is, and the Niners can still win the game. They didn't have that opportunity, clearly, in those contests. And yeah, it just makes it that much more frustrating, because it confirmed everything we've been saying. Like, this team's better than they've been. This team's better than they've been. And then sure enough, you show it against, and again, this is not, the Bears are not the 85 Bears. I'm not trying to say that, but the 49ers went out and dominated a worse team.
Yep.
Something that they haven't done through any of the prior weeks where they played a worse team. So it was a little different, and it was, while encouraging, like you said, immensely frustrating.
Yeah, very, very frustrating. And I think, to the Bears' credit, like this of course, and I went through it, this is a team that has an interim head coach now and a new offensive coordinator and all that. Like, there's plenty of things wrong with the Bears. You pointed out the offensive line. I mean, man, are they bad.
They're so bad.
But this is also a team that very, very easily could have beat the Lions on Thanksgiving in Detroit. Mm-hmm. They should have beaten the Packers. They easily could have won that game, and they should have beaten the Commanders in DC as well. That was the Hail Mary game. Like, this is not a bad football team, Kyle, and the Niners made them look like one of the worst teams in the NFL.
And they took Minnesota to overtime.
Yeah.
Like, there was, and that's why I was talking. So I have a friend, not to brag. I have a friend who is a acquaintance, who is a professional gambler.
Okay.
Like, that is, he is a sports bettor. That is what he does with his life.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's part of a group. It's a whole thing. It's not like just him just throwing wagers out. Anyways, he's part of a group. And he asked me about the 49ers and just kind of the vibe. And he was like, yeah, the Bears are a weird team to try and figure out because of all the things you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And so I went into Sunday going, all right, I think the 49ers are going to win. But, man, the Bears might just be better than we think, and they fired Eberflus, and the vibes are good now, and Thomas Brown, their interim head coach, his opening presser was electric, and everybody was all fired up. I'm going, man, there's a real chance the Niners, like, lay an egg. And then they did the opposite. And that just goes to show, like, we've had the Kyle Shanahan conversation ad nauseum since 2019, right? But really this year there's been a lot of hey, Kyle Shanahan's got to go, he's this and that. But like games like Sunday show why Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere. Then lost the locker room. The team understands the task ahead of him. He and the coaching staff had them ready to play in that game, and they went out and dominated a very clearly inferior team. But to your point, this wasn't the 1-12 team, right?
Yeah, this wasn't the Raiders.
Yeah,
or the Jaguars. Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't that. They were definitely better than that coming in. Now they had lost 6 in a row. They were 4-8 going into Sunday.
Clearly not a good football team, but they're not one of the worst in the league. I'll stand by that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm right there with you. So really, really good win for the 49ers in a spot where they needed it. Forget the playoffs. Like you can talk tanking, you can talk draft position, whatever. I would rather see the 49ers play well down the stretch and finish 9-8 than, or 8-9 or whatever it is, than see them lose out. So that was encouraging for me to see them just go dominate in all three facets. It was never close, and it was what the 49ers are supposed to look like, which was nice.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe even more so, or maybe to tack on like another feeling or emotion on this game, there was the initial excitement of seeing the Niners play good football. Then there was the frustration of wondering where this has been all year. And I think kind of going hand in hand with the frustration, it is just general confusion, Kyle, because this is a Niners team that did what they did, putting up 38 points on the Bears without Christian McCaffrey, without Jordan Mason, without Trent Williams, without Aaron Banks, and without Ben Barch. And they were able to run the ball almost at will. I mean, Isaac Garendo was very good in this football game. Patrick Taylor even came in to spell Garendo at times. Then once Garendo went out to fill in full time, and he had a couple of bursts, including a touchdown run in this game as well. So the confusion, specifically in the run game and also in the passing game with the Kittle screens, Garendo out of the backfield catching a ball or two and turning it into big gains on both of his catches. I mean, Juwan is still Juwan, but you had creativity all over the place. If the 49ers, Kyle, were able to do what they did yesterday against the Bears with the likes of Isaac Garendo and Patrick Taylor, why weren't they able to do that consistently with the likes of Christian McCaffrey over the last month? Like, maybe the overall opinion for me after this game, it is, again, the excitement, it is the frustration, but it's also just confusion. Like, I don't get how this team can look like they did yesterday after everything that we've seen through the first 12 games this year. Like, it makes no sense. It baffles me. And I don't know if you have the answer. If you do, I'd like you to tell me, because I can't find the answer. It makes no sense.
I would love to. Kyle Shanahan would never answer this question, honestly, in a press conference setting. But I would love to get Kyle Shanahan in a off-the-record moment and ask, where was all that stuff in the previous weeks?
Yeah.
The Kittle screen, some of the play action stuff they did.
Oh, the play action was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was creative and it was a little different.
Even in the run game, Kyle, there were some moments where Garendo in the backfield or in the shotgun, they would have Juszczyk either lined up like behind a tight end position or in the slot, and they'd move him in across the formation like he was going to run from left to right, and as the ball is snapped, he stops and runs back the way he came from. You get a lead blocker out in front.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't even seen something like that for the majority of this
year.
We
used to see it all the time. And I would love to know why, Kyle, like, where has that been? What's the deal? Like, why hasn't that been there all year? But it was nice to see that it's still there.
Yeah.
And that it can still work. We'll see, you know, going forward what it looks like. But the biggest deal for me when you start trying to getting kind of more to the minutia of it, you mentioned the Garendo receiving stuff. The long completion down the right side, where he got lined up on a linebacker and just kind of ran past him.
Hell of a catch looking into the sun.
Really nice play. And it was very similar to the play they ran against Tampa Bay where Purdy just kind of, as he was getting hit, threw it in the air for McCaffrey, and McCaffrey ran under it. When that play happened, I said, that is a throw that he only makes in a play, they only run with McCaffrey. Mm. That's the difference that, that number 23 makes, is they have that in their back. That was ostensibly the same play. And he threw it up for Grundo. I was like, wait, does he know that that's the running back? And then, so to make the throw, to trust him, for Purdy to trust him, and then for Grundo to come down with that catch, like he said, looking into the sun, I was a little bit underthrown. He had to get back through the defender to make the catch. I was really, really impressed with that. He made a nice catch on a crossing route earlier in the game. If he's going to be an impactful player as a pass catcher as well, it completely opens up what he can be in the 49ers offense moving forward here, which is going to be important. He's under contract for three more years. You got McCaffrey, he's turning 29. Isaac Grundo might be a big piece of what the 49ers do offensively, and what he flashed as a receiver for me yesterday was, I think, the most encouraging thing from their offense as a whole.
Yeah, the one that you're talking about, just the little crosser over the middle, first of all, just to be there and to make the catch is one thing, but then you just see his raw talent, and he runs past the linebacker, yeah. Gets the edge, yeah. And gains, like, whatever it was, 25 yards. I forget exactly what the number was, but he turned what would have just been like a simple chain mover into an explosive play, and that's what Christian McCaffrey does, and that's what Isaac Grundo did in that moment, and again, the one down the right sideline where the ball was a little underthrown, and he still managed to make a catch looking into the sun. The bad news for the 49ers as they gear up for a short week and to take on the Rams on Thursday Night Football here in Santa Clara is they might be without Grundo, who injured his ankle. Right in the second half,
he's got a sprained foot.
Sprained foot. I think Shanahan called it an ankle today, but probably
yeah. You
just
started
a little confused.
I had the exact same question. It's a foot. He said ankle later. Mm-hmm. And I got clarification. It is foot.
Okay, so a sprained foot.
He misspoke.
If they were practicing today, he would not have practiced. And Shanahan said he'd be surprised if he were to do anything or much of anything tomorrow. But they're hopeful maybe that he'll be able to go on Thursday. If they don't, you'll probably see a lot of Patrick Taylor. You'll probably see the activation of Israel Abanaconda, who they acquired last week once both McCaffrey and Jordan Mason were put on IR last week after the game in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So the Niners will have to kind of put it together in the run game if Grundo can't go, and that's a big question mark, but that's a conversation for down the road if Isaac Grundo cannot go. But it wasn't just the run game, Kyle, either. I mean, it was the pass game, and it was the creativity. It was getting easy completions for Brock Purdy, because this year, Kyle, when we've seen the Niners' passing game at its best, it's been just by getting big chunks down the field. Like, it hasn't always just been the quick throws and the screens and the creativity in the short pass game from Kyle Shanahan. This truly felt like a 2023 Niners offense where the defense trying to plug a hole on one side of the field and another one pops up on the other side. You never knew who the Niners were going to go to on any given moment. Plus, it was just leaning in to the individual greatness of George Kittle, which was great to see. And I say it felt like 2023, that might not be the right comparison considering who you had on the field. It almost was more like 2019 when you didn't have all pros all over the place and you were still putting up 30 points a game. This was, as we've talked about so many times here in the Football Hour this year, Kyle, this was a game where you just react to an offensive play call and you just say, wow, Kyle Shanahan drew up and called the perfect play in the perfect moment. It must have happened like 10 different times yesterday.
Yeah, the layups were back, man. They didn't make everything super duper hard on Brock Purdy. I thought Purdy specifically was because of the play calling, was extremely decisive. We saw him not relying on his legs so much. He was moving around in the pocket, but he was as decisive and accurate, really, as we've seen all year. He looked like he looked last year. And I say that as a compliment.
There you go.
he looked awesome, and I think it has to do with what you're talking about. The play calls weren't, hey, shotgun, you're gonna take a 5-step drop, and then you're gonna have to get the ball down the field if you're gonna want to make anything happen. Like, no, first play of the game, quick out, Juwan Jennings, get to second and manageable. They spent so much time in second and third and short. And when you're doing that, like, that's good for every offense. every offense is better out of second and third and short. That's what every offensive coordinator wants to get to. But with the 49ers, you see it. When they get to second and third and short, they are unstoppable. And I think that it was the play calling. It was the execution. They didn't have any stupid pre-snap penalties. They weren't getting killed by holding calls. It was just all of the things, just to kind of circle back to what we were talking about at the top, all the things that have killed them all year. It's like, oh, when you don't do that, you're one of the best offenses in football, even this version of it.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot more pedestrian from a roster standpoint. So really, really impressive stuff from Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy in a spot where they needed it.
Like, yeah.
Those two needed a good game.
Sorry about that. Brock Purdy also talked post-game about just the flow of the game, not necessarily play calling, but just the way that the offense flowed for them. And he brought up something really, really interesting to me, talking about trust among teammates. I want to play this for everybody, and we can react for the next few minutes before we head to a quick break. Here's Brock Purdy post-game yesterday on the flow of the offense and trusting in each other.
It's just sort of how the game went, man. I think, you know, Kyle did a good job dialing up some plays and for us to just go out there and just play, you know, and guys, we just trusted each other, man. Just when I threw the ball to JJ or George, there's a sense of trust that we all have and where they need to be. And I think, you know, last year going back and watching a couple of games, it's like that. You know, there's a lot of times where, you know, I go through a progression and I lay a ball and expect a guy to be there and they're there. Like, it's just getting those reps and those trusts to continue to grow together. And I know it's late in the season, but it's never too late to continue to work on those things and grow. And I thought today we just did that.
Okay, so that's Brock Purdy talking about trust, and he, you know, trusts a certain guy to be in a certain spot at a certain moment. That happened yesterday, it basically implying that it hasn't happened basically all year long, but that it was happening in 2023. He specifically name-dropped JJ, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle. I think important to note that he did not mention anybody else. That includes Debo Samuel. We'll talk more about Debo Samuel coming up a little bit later on. But there's a lot there, Kyle. And he's saying exactly, I think, what we're feeling as well. This felt like last year. Everybody was in the right spot. Some of that is just guys playing better, I'm sure. Also, some of it is just Kyle Shanahan simplifying the offense, and it worked.
Yeah, having proof positive that a thing can still work or does work or whatever they needed to iron out is going to be super important. Whether they, like I said, whether they make the playoffs or not, that what Brock Purdy said about they still got four games left. That's four games of live reps to work on stuff. I'm expecting more of this moving forward. Like, they were in some kind of offensive rut. They got out of it, and I understand that Chicago's not great. I understand they fired their defensive head coach, which I'm sure had a ripple effect on that side of the ball for them. I'm not expecting them to score 38 points a game from here out, but I'm expecting more crisp offensive performances like we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. And you should be able to put up points against the Rams. Now, you might not be able to stop the Rams. Rams just put up 44 on Buffalo in a win against the Bills down in L.A., but they also gave up 42.
It was a soft 44, though.
A soft 44. I mean, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp as a combination. I mean, I know we've been saying it for a year and a half now, but oh my God.
That catch on the sideline by Puka Nacua. Just silly. The ball placement, the throw from Stafford, who remains elite. The ball placement, the body control to get the feet.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough matchup for them coming up on Thursday. The Niners should be able to move the ball, but the Rams also should be able to move the ball. We can talk about the Niners' defense because they had one of their best days of the year as well yesterday, but we got to hear something that George Kittle said post-game, and we got to talk about Debo Samuel taken to Twitter today. This made no sense. If you have not yet heard what Debo Samuel tweeted multiple times, by the way, you got to stick around. We will share with you what Debo Samuel said. That's coming up on the other side as the Football Hour continues. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Mattson with you. The 49ers victorious over the Bears 38-13. We're sponsored by Life Source Water Systems. More Football Hour next, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Receiver set, first and 10 from the Chicago 40, off the play fake, catch is made by the tight end Kittle, inside the 20, the 15, and finally taken down inside the 10-yard line of the Bears.
Now back to the Football Hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Oh, man, how good is George Kittle having himself a career year? And this is a dude who's already set at one point in his career the single-season record for receiving yards by a tight end, and he is having the best season of his career. This year he has been just awesome, and he was amazing in yesterday's Niners win over the Bears. Final score at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, 38-13. The Niners now 6-7. They snapped their three-game losing streak, and any postseason hopes that they have, albeit very, very slim, stay alive, although technically, I guess, depending on where you look, their postseason odds actually went down yesterday, Kyle, because the Seahawks suddenly look like a pretty good team in the NFC West. They win in Arizona against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Niners needed to win, they needed the Bills to beat the Rams, and they needed the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks, and none of those things happened except the Niners win.
Yeah, they finally took care of their own business, but what also flipped was the other teams in the division also took care of their own business.
It's the position they put themselves in.
Yep.
Like, they got to rely on other teams now, and it didn't get off to a great start for them in Week 14. Real quick on George Kittle before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I looked this up last night. He now has 800 receiving yards for the season, closing in on 1,000. It would be his fourth 1,000-yard season if he gets there.
Wow.
He would join, if he gets to 1,000 yards a fourth time, he would join Jason Witten, Rob Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, and Travis Kelce as the only tight ends to have four 1,000-yard receiving
Antonio seasons. Gates never had four?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, I mean... He's a
incredible.
Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
I was wary there for a bit because I didn't think he was going to age well, but he's been better the last 2 years than he was the previous 2 years. Like, he's going the other direction. He's entering like a second prime, and it looks a little different than it used to. Although yesterday was vintage Kittle, but like all 8 of his touchdowns have been in the red zone. He's been a red zone monster the last couple of years after not really being that effective there in his first few seasons. So maybe the long touchdowns aren't there as often, but he's supplementing that with more efficiency in the red zone. So shout out to George Kittle, man. Heck of a player, and I'm with you. If he keeps this up for the next couple of years, I have a hard time imagining he doesn't wind up in Canton.
Yeah. No long touchdowns yesterday, but 6 catches, 151 yards, so that's just barely over 25 yards per catch. So he was just a big play waiting to happen yesterday. And as good as George Kittle is on the field, his podium game might be better. He always is entertaining when he's talking to the media, and maybe this wasn't necessarily entertaining, but he did have some interesting things to say post-game, including this when talking about what the message was at the team meeting the team had Saturday night before the game on Sunday. Here's George Kittle.
I think the message was, we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate, because you just haven't really sensed that. And like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago, we were on an, however, like 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was, and it literally felt like every play people were just scratching, clawing, and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like, we've all not taken a playoff, but, like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message. Like, guys, just put it all out there. Because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games. But, like, we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over, that desperation fuels guys in different ways. And it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
That was George Kittle yesterday. He always has a way of making it sound super nice. But, I mean, that there was a hard message in there from George Kittle. And that sounded like a guy who has been pretty frustrated throughout the season, Kyle, because he's been one of the few guys that has consistently shown up week after week after week. And he's been playing with that desperation that he's been talking about. But he's also enough of a leader and a captain of this team to also throw himself under the bus. Like, everyone has been guilty of it, he said, essentially. George Kittle may be the one that's been least guilty of it all season, but this sounds like a competitor who has given it his all this season and hasn't, at times, seen it from everybody else on the roster.
Yeah, like, denying that would be silly. We all have eyeballs. We watch. You watch, I watch. Anybody listening to the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game, I'm sure, is tapped in with the 49ers. And I think it's human nature They've known that this season has gone sideways on the field, off the field. Like, the personal tragedy some of their teammates have dealt with has just been unfathomable. You've got a player getting shot the weekend before the season starts. Like, it's been kind of a mess. And you go into that game against Green Bay, which is kind of feels like where it really started. You go into that game against Green Bay and season's kind of over. We're on the road. It's cold. Like, yeah, you know what? If I'm being 100% blunt, I don't blame them. Yeah. If you go out there and you're like, hey, you know what? I am taking this play. Oh, we're down 17-0 or whatever it was in Green Bay to start the game. I'm making business decisions. You know what? I know people don't love to hear that, but hey, it's really hard to blame somebody because we're all human. We're all people. And you're freezing cold. It's pouring down snow in Buffalo. And you're down 28-6 or whatever the however messy it had gotten, 28-3 it was. You're down 28-3 and you're going, you know what? I'm actually not going to fill that lane. James Cook with a full head of steam, I'm going to arm tackle. And I know it's not exclusive to the 49ers. You see this across the NFL. So I think that Kittle is just being honest. I think he's probably very correct. And I don't think it's a coincidence that yesterday, when it didn't seem like you had guys making business decisions, they go out and they play their best game of the year. So I think it's good that he called it out publicly like that. Now the next step is you got to do it again. And then you're going to have to do it three more times. And can you muster that up for another week and just hang around? That's what it's going to be about.
And I mean, you're absolutely right when you talk about maybe the mindset of at least a portion of the team in Green Bay and in Buffalo. Those are two very good teams, and there's so many circumstances. You laid out some of them, but I mean, also you're without your quarterback in one. You're without Nick Bosa and Trent Williams in both. Mm-hmm. You lose Christian McCaffrey for the season in the middle of the second one in Buffalo. Like, so much else going on. So, like, if that's the way that a human being and a football player thinks, like, in those moments, I have really, honestly, no problem with that. But the issue is, I don't know why it was so difficult for this Niner team to feel like how they felt yesterday, feel that way at home against the Seahawks in the second half.
That's a great
point.
When
you have a lead.
That's a great point.
Like, I don't know how in that moment you did not feel like your backs were up against the wall. Kyle Shanahan saying today on his conference call, yeah, you know, we knew our backs are up against the wall in this one. He's talking about the game yesterday. I don't know how you couldn't possibly feel that against the Seahawks. That's literally the difference in the Niners looking at a slim to none postseason chances and being the favorite to win the division right now. Just getting one stop in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks. And, of course, so many other things could have changed that would have allowed you to win that football game as well. But as we talk about what Kittle is talking about, the need to play desperate, I don't know why there wasn't that desperation when Geno Smith led the Seahawks to a win just a few weeks ago in Santa Clara.
No, that's a great point. And you're right, man. That was the one because, back's against the wall now. But that was one where we went in going, hey, if you lose this one, that means you got to go to Green Bay and win. And then potentially have to go to Buffalo and win. You're putting yourself in a really tough spot. And you're right. There's way less excuse doing that at home in a division game than there is in the freezing cold on the road in Green Bay and then Buffalo.
Yeah, like,
and that's why that for me is where this season, you know, and playoff hopes, you know, 4% or whatever. I think NBC had it at 4%. Whatever their playoff odds are, that's. I hate that it got there. I hate that it got to 4% before they were like, oh, hey, yeah, this is... Because really, we all knew that Seahawks game was it. Like, we all knew that Seahawks game was a turning point.
The reason that the Bills and the Packers game felt the way it did was because you lost to the Seahawks. Like, the feeling in those Bills and Packers games would have been entirely different. It still would not have felt good, of course, and you probably still would have lost by the same score in both those games. At the very least, it would not have been close. But if you just took care of business against the Seahawks, you can go into those games against the Packers and the Bills and say, all right, you know what? we're not going to be a one seed this year. We're not going to be a two seed. We're probably not going to be a three seed. But gosh darn it, we're going to get the four seed because we're going to win the division.
Yep.
Like, that is why those games against the Bills and the Packers felt so bad. Not because you got blown out, at least not for me, but because it just confirmed that, okay, this team has absolutely no shot of trying to win this division. Until, I don't know what flipped, what changed yesterday. That change should have happened like a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Yeah.
I don't know. And then the other thing that came out for the 49ers today, and I teased this going into our commercial break, was Deebo Samuel, who took to Twitter. And Deebo Samuel yesterday, he carried the ball 5 times for 13 yards. That is about 2.5 yards per carry. Not great, but basically on par with what he's done all season long as a ball carrier. And then he had 3 targets, 2 catches for 22 yards. One of them was a 20-yarder. So he showed a little bit of burst on one of those catches. But other than that, it was kind of another so-so day for Deebo Samuel. He takes to Twitter, clearly having heard, I don't know exactly what he heard, but probably some people talking about his lackluster numbers so far this year, and tweeted, and I quote, "Not struggling at all, just not getting the ball," with 7 exclamation points and then the shoulder shrug emoji. And then 10 minutes later, tweeted again, "Just because I voiced my opinions doesn't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real." That was Deebo Samuel today, Kyle. Less than 24 hours after his team earned their most impressive win of the season, and Deebo Samuel is clearly feeling some kind of way about the way he's being talked about in the media, in public, on social media, or all of the above. Not a very good look to have that response the day after your team earns a much-needed win.
Yeah, it's a terrible look. I'm going to ignore the second one where he said, "Just because I said this doesn't mean I'm throwing my teammates under the bus." Like, all right, man, that's not the problem. Here's the deal. Deebo isn't getting the same opportunities because he's not playing as well. You can go look. I'm not going to run through all the numbers, but you can just go look. Yards after catch per reception, lowest of his career. Missed tackles forced, both as a runner and a receiver, lowest of his career by a lot. Yards per route run, this according to Pro Football Focus, lowest of his career by a lot. Like, he's just not the same guy. He's averaging 6 touches a game this year. He was at 6.5 last year.
Yep.
And I think 7.5 or something the year before that, almost 8. And it's like, yeah, man, the opportunities are down because at halftime you had 3 carries for -3 yards. His longest carry of the year is 12 yards. Like, he's not the same guy. They try and devise looks for him. They try and get him open on screens, and he just doesn't have the juice. There are, I can think of at least half a dozen plays where I watched it and he gets tackled and you went, that felt like a play he houses last year. I'm not even going to go back to 2021. Last season, it's like, man, he probably houses that last year. And he just doesn't. He doesn't have the same burst. It's just not. It's not the same. He doesn't have the same acceleration. The inability to break a tackle now is insane, and it's part of the reason I think he's hurt. Like, or I don't have anything to go off of there. It's just like you watch a player who is as good as he was, even going back to last year, and it's like, man, what is this? What happened that all of a sudden this guy who's like calling card as a player was forcing missed tackles, breaking tackles, yards after contact, all that jazz. By the way, yards after contact, lowest of his career. That was his defining trait as a player, and now it's just gone. It's just absent. Overnight, it seems like. He's just not the same guy that he was. And you can tell me it's the looks. You can tell me it's the opportunity. He's getting opportunity because the looks don't... He's getting fewer opportunities because the looks don't matter. He just doesn't have it anymore. Or at least he doesn't have it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you say getting fewer opportunities, I mean, technically you're right. But as you laid out, it's only like, on average, half a touch per game less Like, yeah. That's it. Like, he has 72 touches this year. That's catches and rushes. That is second most on the team, behind only the starting running back for the majority of the season. The starting running back of any team always leads the team in touches. Like, Deebo Samuel, and part of the reason why he has the second most is because he gets more rushes than any other non-running back, and that's part of it. But, I mean, he's also 40 catches, which is the third most on the team, behind Juwan and behind George Kittle. Like, 40 catches to go with 32 rushes, 72 touches, second most on the team. So first of all, Deebo, your tweet is just, like, factually inaccurate. It's not that you're not getting the ball. It's that, sorry, you are struggling. You are doing less this year with your touches, which are relatively comparable to the rest of your career, than you've ever done. And that's just the meat and potatoes of the tweet. What really is wrong with this thing, Kyle, is you are just taking away from your team's awesome win that they needed. They're trying to get away from all this extra stuff. They're trying to get away from all the drama. They're trying to get away from the nightmare season that they have gone through. And all you are doing by tweeting this out is leaving your teammates or your coaches to question, is he talking about me? Is Brock Purdy the reason? Brock Purdy might be thinking, am I not getting him the ball? Do I need to be getting him the ball more? Is Kyle Shanahan seeing this tweet thinking, am I not scheming him up? Do I need to get him a ball? Is he mad at me? Like, you are just distracting everything that was going well for the Niners after yesterday's game, and you're taking away. And that's the last thing this team needs, because as you laid out with the playoff odds, the playoff probability, the only way, really, the Niners have a chance of making the postseason is going 3-1 in their final four, or help yourself out and go 4-0. There's no other way that it can work out. And every little thing, every little distraction, especially on a short week when you've got the Rams coming into town, there is no positive that can come out of Deebo Samuel tweeting that.
No, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's clear, like you said, I don't know if he was listening to the radio. He's probably locked into 95.7 The Game. That would make sense.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe he's watching YouTube videos. Maybe he's reading tweets. I don't know. But what he's probably seeing are people pointing to rushing yards, receiving yards, yards per carry, when in reality, people are using those numbers because that's what 95% of people have readily available. Like, there's not a lot of people subscribed to PFF or whatever. But the issue is the eye test, and that's the other thing. You're absolutely right. Like, you're hitting the nail on the head with what this means and the potential ripple effects this could have on his teammates. I'm still stuck on just the tweet and its accuracy. Like, it's like, man, people might be citing your stats, but your stats are bad because you're not the same player.
And
people are citing the stats because we're all watching it. We're all seeing that, like, dude, Deebo, you're not the same guy.
And frankly, Kyle, if we can be even more honest,
please,
about Deebo Samuel, you probably shouldn't be getting the number of touches you're already getting. If you're upset about the number of touches you're getting right now, well, newsflash, you might be getting less in the future, because clearly, as you've laid out, you are not doing anything with the touches. Every single Deebo Samuel carry right now is a loss, is a failed play. Like, it does not work. You have to erase that from the playbook.
Yeah.
Like,
They're never. I attended the game as a fan yesterday for the first time since 2016.
Nice.
Had a blast. Yeah. It was great. Had such a good time. Salute to my mom. She has season tickets, and she took me. It was great seats.
Awesome.
It was such a fun time. Shout out to the people sitting around me. But I was I'm sitting there. Every time Deebo would motion in the backfield, the murmurs started. Like, don't hand it to him. Like, this guy who is beloved. Like, there are so many Deebo Samuel jerseys at number 1, number 19, doesn't matter. There are so many Deebo Samuel jerseys at Levi's Stadium, and I'm sure there is a generation of 49er fan who Deebo Samuel is going to be their favorite player forever.
No
he was
doubt.
a game-changing player for the 49ers and a huge reason for their success in 2021, 2022, and 2023. He's not that now. And the fact that there are people who loved him and still do go, hey, don't give him the ball. Like, that's not a yards per carrier opportunities thing. That's a, we all can see that he is – currently a shell of himself. I'm not going to call him washed because I wouldn't doubt it. Would it shock you, Mark, if the story came out at the end of the year like, oh, hey, Deebo Samuel had off-season surgery on some body part?
Absolutely not. I mean,
wouldn't shock me.
That
one
feels
bit.
Like the most logical explanation for what's going on.
Yeah, it's because all we heard in training camp is Deebo Samuel looks like 2021 Deebo. He is having a great camp. He looks like he's in shape. He's motivated, this and that. We might get all-pro Deebo again. That was the talking point about him.
And even last year, like, of course, he's never going to get to 2021 again. Last year, he was not 2021, sure. But he was still pretty darn good last year when he was available. Nowhere near what he's at right now. Yeah.
Yeah, the fall-off is just too rapid. Like, that's why I have a hard time. And again, there's no indication of an injury. I have no idea. Yeah. I am a guy on the radio speculating. But it just, that would make way more sense to me than just, oh yeah, he just stopped being able to do the thing he's always been good at.
Yeah, it's like the Monstars just zapped him of all his football ability. Like,
yeah,
that's what it feels like.
I don't believe he just woke up washed one day.
No.
I refuse to believe that.
Yeah. And, I mean, if the Niners are going to make some kind of run here to close the year, I mean, without Christian McCaffrey and without Jordan Mason and potentially without Isaac Garendo, you know what would be an awesome introduction to this offense? 2021 Deebo Samuel. Oh,
boy.
My God. Could you imagine? I mean, if you could just plop 2021 Deebo Samuel onto this Niners roster right now, Kyle, I mean, I might pick them to go 3-1 in their final four. I might pick them to go 4-0. Like, that's how good Deebo Samuel was. And
yeah, man.
That is like a real, when we talk about what went wrong this year, and even if they sneak into the postseason, like, it's still going to be a relatively unsuccessful regular season because of everything else that went wrong. And when we ultimately do the postmortem for this year, I think one of the underrated factors will be just Deebo Samuel's contribution. Like, there's so many other things to point to, and injuries and relative lack of creativity in the offense and all of that. But a great Deebo Samuel can hide so many bad things. That's what 2021 was. That was not a good offensive unit for the most part. Deebo Samuel made them great, almost single-handedly. So if you just add that to this team, it takes on an entirely different feel. So this isn't like, let's bash Deebo, his career is over, he never can be the same again. This is, the Niners really need him, and it's unfortunate that this has happened when it has happened, because this is one of the years where they could absolutely use a great Deebo Samuel.
And now he's tweeting about it. Come on, man. You mentioned Greg Cosell said on Willard and Dibbs. He talked about like making wholesale changes to your offense in season. That's not really something you can do.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers offense relied a lot on the versatility and gravity of Deebo Samuel and manipulating defenses by lining him up in the backfield or putting him in motion. And when that doesn't work the same way, when defenses don't fear him the same way, I think it just fundamentally changes like the rules of your offense and what your offense looks like.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And to me, that is a significant reason the 49ers offense struggled this year.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well said. Kyle, that is all we have time for today. It was great to catch up with you after a win. And we got a quick turnaround.
So nice.
We got overtime coming up on Thursday. Niners and Rams. The game kicks off again around 5:15. That means we'll probably take the air sometime around 8:30, and we'll be with you late into the night on Thursday. So until then, Kyle, I'm looking forward to it. I'll talk to you on Thursday, okay?
Can't wait. See you, Mark.
Sounds good. That's Kyle Madsen. I'm Mark Graney. Thanks so much for tuning into the Football Hour here on 95.7 The Game. We're back on Thursday, but of course, we've got all-day coverage leading up to the Niners and Rams game coming up on Thursday, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and of course, day of, including Willard and Dibbs live from Levi's Stadium. That's all for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk later on 95.7 The Game.